Psalms 23, no doubt, has been used of God to minister and bless people probably as much as any chapter, any portion of Scripture in the entire Word of God. And we thank the Lord for it, but don't forget this, that this chapter, those short six verses, was written out of a practical experience of a man. Sometimes if we're not careful, and there's nothing wrong with spiritualizing a passage, but don't forget there's a practical truth there. And Psalms 23 is loaded with just practical, right down into your everyday life truth that you can benefit therefrom. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let's go to God in a brief moment of prayer and ask you to pray with us and for us this morning. Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus, and we thank you that we have access to the throne because of Jesus, because of the precious blood, because of the precious Holy Spirit that indwells the believer's heart. I pray this morning for that special unction that will make preaching effective, that will make preaching powerful, that will make preaching fruitful. Lord, we pray that it will come upon us, and we know that that is a spiritual anointing. Lord, preaching is a spiritual task, and it requires spiritual enablement. And I pray you'll help us to not ever get mechanical in preaching, but to depend upon the Spirit of God to use us and to give us utterance as to what we would say or what needs to be said. I pray this morning that you'll take this portion of Scripture and feed us with it and speak to us with it and use it in our life. Lord, I'm afraid many times we fail to bring the Bible into our practical everyday life and bring our practical life into alignment of the Word of God. I pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, among us are lost people, and I pray you would, Lord, by your Spirit, bring them under conviction, show them their guilt of sin and their hopelessness of deliverance apart from Jesus. We pray, dear Father, you will draw men, women, boys, and girls to yourself today. And Lord, we pray for those among us that are saved but are not where they need to be of God. And no doubt there are some like that today. And I would ask you to deal with them as well and speak to them and show them that only misery can be their portion when they're at a distance from the Savior. Father, help us to desire intimacy with you and closeness, Lord, with you today. Lord, do what needs to be done. Those that are not with us today, for various reasons, we would ask God you'd bless them in a special way. Lord, we certainly don't want to be forgetful of those that are suffering this morning, locally and globally. We pray, God, that you'd give protection to our missionaries that are fighting battles that, Lord, we may never fight here. And help us, though things may be well here, that we'd not forget those that are, Lord, in the heat of the battle. Father, strengthen our faith this morning. Lord, I pray when we come to the close of the service and we leave, we'll be able to say that we've been in the presence of God and that we have certainly been to church. And our Father, I pray that this morning, above all things, you would be glorified and magnified and lifted up. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In Psalms 23, what we have began a few weeks ago to be a one message delivery has actually developed into being a several part message. I tell you, if you've been here in the messages, and God has certainly been helping us with this chapter, and I think it is timely that we look at this chapter. I believe it is timely that God led our heart into this chapter, because I believe we need encouragement today like never before. I believe we need to get our eyes off of our problems and get our eyes on our shepherd more now than ever before. If you look at your problems, and they're most of the time they're very visible. If you look at your problems, most of the time the devil will make sure that you look at them through a magnifying glass. He certainly will magnify, and a magnifying glass makes large to the view what is actually really small. And so compared to your need of salvation, all of your problems are small. Amen. I mean, you think about that, and he's already met that need. But in Psalms 23, we've just been exalting the shepherd and his ministry to the sheep, and how he is sufficient to satisfy and meet every need that the sheep would have. And in this chapter, we looked already in verse 1 how the shepherd meets the need of our emptiness. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And because of that, and the results of that, and the fruit of that is, I shall not want. I shall not be empty. I shall not have to live with emptiness. So I'm glad that Jesus can meet the need of our emptiness. Now I know that seems to be just a small thought, but think of this. The world in all of its treasures, the world with all of its resources, could not ever satisfy, fill up the emptiness of one individual. Now you think about that. Not the world. The world with all of its resources could not purchase a soul, because the soul is worth more than the world. Because Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul." What did it profit you? Amen. So a soul is worth more than the world. The world can't save you. And if the world can't save you, it's for sure the world cannot satisfy you. Do you think about that? The one that is required to save you is the only one qualified to satisfy the deep longings of your soul. There's only one reason that's behind people being alcoholics. They've got a thirst. They've got an inner emptiness that they're trying to fill. There's only one reason that's behind, I read an article this morning, where there's 13,000 teenage girls in the state of Tennessee conceive a child every year. There's only one reason behind that, and that is an inner emptiness. They're desiring and craving to be filled, but they're looking in the wrong places. Wrong places. Behind every drug addiction is a desire to be filled. People don't like that emptiness. Don't like it. I don't like it. I did not like it. But I looked elsewhere to find contentment, and could not, and did not, in 20 years of effort, find the emptiness fulfilled. But thank God that night, January 20th, 1981, when I bowed in an old-fashioned altar under Holy Ghost conviction, I want to tell you then and there, I realized for the first time in my life that emptiness can only be met and filled with a person, and his name is Jesus. It cannot be filled with parties. It cannot be filled, my friend, with pleasures, but only with a person, and his name is Jesus. So we found in verse number 1, I preached that point 2 or 3 times. And I'm going to tell you, if I don't get off of it, I'm going to preach it again. Amen. Because it's so needed, and it's so so real to me. Thank God I stand before you this morning satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart is content with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've got Him, what else do you need? You don't need Him plus what the world can hand out. Amen. It's real to me what I'm preaching right there. Amen. When I get to preaching on it, it gets a coming out. Amen. So I'm going to have to move on. But boy, if you hear this morning, I'll just say it this way. If you hear this morning and inside you there's an emptiness and you've tried this and you've tried that and you've looked here and you've looked there and you've, amen, you might even have read this book and read that book and all of that, but yet still inside you's an emptiness. Inside you's a vacuum. Inside you's just a big hole. I'm going to tell you what you need. It's not a thing. It's a person. It's not materialism. It's a person. It's not finances. It's a person. It's not a bigger house and a better car. It's a person. Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you've got Him to be your shepherd, my friend, then you've got all you need. Amen. One little girl, she misquoted that verse when she was supposed to have said it in a church play. And she got stage fright and lost her train of thought, which is easy to do. And she got to saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," and stuttered around a little bit and tried to think. And finally she said, "And I don't need nothing else." Amen. Well, that's not the exact quote, but that's pretty close. Amen. But not only do we know that He covers and deals with our emptiness, and we ought to shout about that this morning in verse 1, but also in verse 2 we find that He deals with our essentials. That is, the sheep have needs. We have needs to be calmed. We have needs to be fed and led and watered and all those many more that we mentioned. But yet we find that all of our essentials, our necessities are met in and from the shepherd. Amen. Amen. A lot of people wants Jesus to be a Savior that one day in the future will deliver them from hell. But they don't want a shepherd that will be in their everyday life. I believe I can say it this way, that if He's not your shepherd, I doubt seriously if He's your Savior. Amen. Why would I want His help to save me somewhere in the future when I could enjoy His supply and enjoy His sustenance and enjoy His sweet fellowship as my shepherd every day of my life? But He meets our essentials. And then we notice number 3, in verse 3, the Bible said, "He restoreth my soul." Well, I still remember preaching that one. And how I still need that one. "He restoreth my soul" tells me that He not only meets my emptiness and He meets my essentials, but He takes care of my errors. The true nature of a sheep is to stray. All we like sheep have gone astray. It's my nature to wander. It's my nature to drift. And I'm going to tell you here and now without hesitation, if it wasn't for the shepherd, I would not be standing here this morning. I'd be in some ditch somewhere. I tell you, I would not be in the house of God because of my nature, prone to wander. Oh Lord, I feel it. But thank God for the shepherd that never ceases to care, that never ceases to notice when my heart is getting cold. And He comes a knocking and He comes a calling. And I'm going to tell you those times that I've erred, I thank God the Bible said that He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. All those times that I thought I'd never get back. Those times the devil said, "You've blown it and you'll never get back to where you need to be." But boy, aren't you glad the devil is a liar, praise God. He is a liar. He is able, the Lord is able to restore you this morning. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done, said, thought. I don't know any of that and don't want to know. But I know this, if you, and you are, you have flesh like me. And you live in this world like me, and I know there's struggles, and I know there's allurements and attractions, and if we're not careful, my friend, our spiritual life will go, my friend, out the window as we would pursue some wilderness experience. But how many in this service probably could testify, preacher, been there and done that. Been there and done that, preacher, but not a one of us can testify that the wilderness was wonderful. Not a one of us can testify that the far country was a blessing. But no, all of that time spent away from the shepherd was wasted time. All of that time that was spent in the distant country, away from the shepherd's care, my friend, guess what? It was wasted. We ended up footing the bill for that. Sure we did. Just like Jonah, when he got away from the will of God and started running from the presence of God, guess what? He got on a ship, but the Bible very plainly said, but he paid the fare thereof. Hey man, you get away from God, God will let you pay the bill. You may choose the sin, but God will choose the consequences. Amen. And sin always, I hope everybody in this building, young or old, man, woman, boy, and girl, would listen that every sin has a consequence. Amen. All right. Well, we dealt with how he meets our emptiness and our essentials and how, that he takes care of our errors. And you know that to be restored, we pointed this out, how that talked about the sheep, that many times they would get in a cast condition. How that a sheep can look for a comfortable place and waddle around in that comfortable place and get turned upside down with his feet up in the air. And he'll die in that condition. He can't get up. He can't get up. But you know, a lot of people wants to be restored only to their feet. They don't want to be restored to following the shepherd. They just want the Lord to get them back on their feet again. Lord, if you'll get me out of this. In other words, use Jesus like a spare tire. Amen. But I want to tell you, Jesus will not be your spare tire that you just pull out in the time of a breakdown and a crisis. Jesus will gladly be your steering wheel that will guide you in your journey. But how many times does people make him a spare tire and just say, Lord, help me. Help me get back on my feet, Lord. Help me get out of this mess. And fail to follow up on their commitment. But number four, verse four, we come to our whatever number of message it is, verse number four, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Boy, this verse has ministered to my heart. We find now in this particular portion of this scripture that our shepherd deals with our endangerments. All around us are the shadows of danger. Someone said that the sheep is always in the presence of imminent danger. Boy, isn't that the truth with us today, walking in this course of life, how that we're always close to danger. Always close to tragedy. I don't mean to depress anyone or get you focused on anything wrong, but how many times have I thought, and how many times have you thought as you travel and you're passing people on just on the other side of that little line, coming the opposite direction, and just a little nod of sleep, a distraction of some sort, my friend, or drunk or whatever could veer into your path. and your life could either be over or forever changed. I'm telling you, we're constantly exposed to danger. Now, this verse of Scripture has been used, and rightfully so, in times of funerals. This particular verse has been preached in funerals because it talks about the shadow of death, or the valley of the shadow of death. And there's nothing wrong with preaching it that way, because truly, for a child of God, death is only a shadow. Amen. That we pass through, and a shadow can't hurt you. Amen. No, sir. That's right. And you can deal with it that way. And certainly, the Lord gave me this statement this morning. Certainly, death is an end, but it's not a dead end. I had to write that down. Amen. Death is an end, but it's not a dead end. And we'll talk about that more a little bit later on. But I want to tell you, the Lord deals with our endangerments. Now, this statement in verse 4 is referring to the narrow paths that the shepherd leads the sheep through when he's moving them to the mountains or to the high country for the summertime feeding ground. That's what this is talking about. When they travel to the high country, they've got to pass through the valley. Every mountain has a valley. Are you listening? Amen. But the valleys here talked about is not the valleys before you get on the mountain, but rather the valleys that are on the mountain. The deep ravines that funnel down the mountain. Those, as we would call them in Tennessee, those hollers. For you sanctified crowd, the hollows. But if you can understand Tennessee English, it's them hollers, amen. Amen. And I'm not talking about hollering. I'm talking about them hollers in the hills. But I found as I studied that out that those narrow passageways through those valleys, Brother Carroll, it was said that that was the quickest way to the mountaintop feeding ground. Amen. I hope God will change our attitude toward our valleys. Oh, the song that person wrote that one time is, "Thank you for the valleys that I walk through today." Sometimes we get to focusing more on the valleys, the deepness of it, and the narrowness of it, and the dangers of it, and the darkness of it, instead of, hey, where is this taking us? Where is this taking us? And so as the shepherd is leading the sheep through those narrow passages to the high country feeding grounds, they are exposed to imminent danger on every side. They're exposed, as someone said, to predators and flash floods from the melting snows on the top of the mountains. And they said they're always exposed to loose rocks or rock slides, and always exposed in those journeys to poisonous plants and storms of sleet and hail and so on and so forth. But even though there is the potential and the possibility of any danger at any given moment, yet in the same verse, the sheep is saying, "I'll fear no evil." In the same verse, he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they," and he's fixing to tell us what he feels, "they comfort me." In other words, the shepherd had more of an influence on the sheep than did the threatening dangers. If you'll get a hold of that, it'll help you sleep at night. Instead of looking always for what rock might be going to fall, or instead of looking around at what predator might be hid out in the crack or something. Instead, focus on the shepherd, because the sheep knows the shepherd is bigger and greater than the threatening dangers. I say glory to God for that. Amen. And in this journey between, in them narrow passageways from where they were in the winter time to the high country feeding grounds of the summertime, this one writer wrote it this way, that in that zone, those narrow passageways, with impending danger all around and imminent danger everywhere, the sheep are alone with the shepherd. In other words, he's all they got. He's all they got. When they look at the rocks, he's all they've got. When they look at the potential predators, he's all they've got. When they look at all the dangers, they look ahead and they see him, the only source of help. And all this, I don't know who said it, if it was a song or a poem or whatever, but when he's all you got, you'll find out he's all you need. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's more than my shepherd is what I want. He's all I have. But you really move into another, Brother Mark taught on it. A long time ago, he talked about that Psalms 23 verse 1 about the shepherd. He said it, something along the lines, you can measure your spirituality by if the shepherd's just all you need or if he's all you want. There's a difference. Amen. There's a difference. You have to meditate on that or talk to him about it. Amen. But the Lord deals with our endangerments. And I hope you got what I stated earlier about that every mountain have these valleys, those ravines, those hollers going through up the sides of those mountains. And it is the best route to the top of the hill. Praise God. Well, if we get a hold of that, I believe it'll help us. Amen. But the entire time, the shepherd knows fully all of the dangers and is fully prepared to safeguard his flock and tend to them with skill under every circumstance. Because he'd done been through there before. I say glory, amen. But I want you to note this right here, this is good. The same shepherd and the same Lord in verse 1 and shepherd in verse 1 that's doing the leading in verse 2, where he leadeth me beside the still waters. The same Lord and shepherd in verse 1 that's leading in verse 2 is still leading in verse 3. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's still leading. Move right into verse 4. He don't stop leading. Yea, though I walk. That is hooked up to what had just been said in verse 3. He's leading me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Nevertheless, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we think he only is going to be leading us in green pasture areas and still water areas and smooth paths. But sometimes, I'm telling you, the same shepherd leads his flock through some of those danger zones. Are you listening? Oh, yes. And so, keep that in mind, that this same Lord is still leading. Sometimes we think he's quit leading. When things is upside down a little bit in our life and there's dangers all around and there's everything going on around us, we'll thank God, where you at? But I'll tell you where he's at. If you're a sheep and you're following, he is still leading. He's still leading. Amen. Let me deal with this quickly this morning, or at least try to. Can I say first of all this morning that these endangerments does not stop his person. And what I mean by that is that he does not change. He doesn't change when things get tight and narrow and threatening, and he doesn't change. The shepherd that was the shepherd down there in the low country wintertime feeding grounds will be the same shepherd that will go with you and lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. It don't change his person. Now, I don't know about you, but that right there ought to help us this morning to know that he does not change. Circumstances may and probably will change, but Jesus cannot change. Amen. I like that. Malachi 3 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." Thank God for the unchanging shepherd. Because if he could change, then he could fail. Amen. But he cannot change, and therefore he cannot fail. If he could change, he could change his mind about me. If he could change, then we wouldn't have anything to go by. Because if we were to pray a promise and say, "God, that you said in this verse," but God said, "But I changed since then," we'd be in a mess. Everything would crumble and fall to pieces if God could change. But I'm glad that the impending threatening dangers does not scare our shepherd. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, that's good. I had to pause right there and just let that soak in. Those closed, high-walled cliffs that many times that they would have to go between and would cast that shadow of threatening death down on the flock. They would see the shepherd not scared. Hallelujah. Amen. The shepherd is not afraid of anything going on in your life. The shepherd is not scared by circumstances. He doesn't look at our political world and our economic world and wring his hands and say, "Oh, no." No, he doesn't change in his person. Hebrews 13 and 8, the Bible said, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Hallelujah. I'm glad to say first that the endangerments does not stop his person. He does not let anything, the shepherd does not let anything, any dangers get in between him and the sheep. He does not let any dangers get in between him and the sheep. And it would be wise for the sheep to not let anything get between us and the shepherd. As we walk through this time of impending danger, imminent dangers on every hand, I'll tell you the best position you can get is to get as close to the shepherd as you possibly can and make sure nothing gets between you and him. Could I say number two? That these endangerments cannot, not only they don't stop his person, change him or anything, but also it doesn't stop his perfection. Boy, this point right here ministered to me, I'm telling you. It does not stop the dangers, does not stop his perfection. In other words, he never makes a mistake. Hallelujah. Oh, sometimes when we look around and we see those dangers and we see how close many times they are and how high and big they are and how little and insignificant that I am to deal with it, I'll tell you many times it strikes fear in my heart and I begin to walk by fear instead of by faith. But the shepherd never makes a move based on fear. Never do you find Jesus afraid. Glory to God. Even when he was facing the cross, he never was afraid. He's not afraid. He remains in this time of... And listen, the sheep are not perfect. But the shepherd is. And I'm going to say it again. He makes no mistake. The poem, "He Makes No Mistake," says this: "My Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know He makes no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for He does know the way. Through night, though night be dark, and it may, as it may seem, that day will never break, I'll place my faith, my all in Him. He makes no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift, and all the plan He'll make, through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake." When the mist clears, when it's all over with and you look back, you will find out, as is true now, He never has, He never can, He never will make a mistake. Amen. Now you can't shout about me, and I can't shout about you, but we together can shout about a perfect shepherd that never makes a wrong turn, that never gives bad advice. I'm telling you, He's alert, He's attentive, He's on the job, He's sufficient all the time. And He never makes a mistake. Amen. Boy, when you leave going through them narrow places and dangers awful close, aren't you glad you've got one that's not fearful and afraid and scared and controlled by emotions? Oh, Lord, help us. Aren't you glad that our shepherd this morning is not controlled by emotions? Boy, if he is controlled by emotions, we'd all be in a mess. Amen. Most time when I go off of my emotions, I make wrong moves. When I go off of what I can see, I make wrong moves. When I go off of how I feel, I go off of wrong moves. And sometimes if I listen to what other sheep are saying, I make a wrong move. But I'm telling you, if I follow my perfect shepherd that never makes a mistake. Now I'm going to tell you, dear friend, there's times that you'll question and say, "God, what are you doing?" Brother David, I'd say clearly that that's what the children of Israel did at the Red Sea. You know good and well that's what they did. Led them victoriously out of Egypt's bondage, out into the wilderness, headed for the promised land, and then all of a sudden, they're at a dead end. And not just a dead end, but was hemmed up. They couldn't go to the right nor the left, and they couldn't go forward because of the Red Sea, and coming in behind them was Pharaoh's army. Well, it looked like God led them wrong. It looked like a mistake has occurred. It looked like it maybe God forgot about some important information. But I want to tell you, the cry from the poem comes again to my heart. He makes no mistakes. He led them into an impossibility so that He could show Himself to be the God that's greater than the impossible. He led them into the hopeless, where the people would find out that He is and forever shall be our only hope. He led them into that situation to teach them, you don't live by sight, you don't live by feelings, and you don't live by emotions, and you're not controlled by fear. You're controlled by Me. How could we ever doubt a God that has such a record behind Him? We've got a Bible. You've got a Bible laying in your laps that shows that our God is greater than dead ends and detours. God is greater, my friend, than giants. And God is greater than the sea. God's greater than demons, and God is greater than the devil, and God is greater than the broken law that condemned us. God is greater, my friend. Every opponent that come against Him left in defeat. He is the undisputed champion this morning. He's took them all on, and He reigns sovereign over every situation. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel good about that this morning. Woo! Glory to God. Oh yes, there's times, friend, I don't know what in the world is going on. Because I couldn't see it. I couldn't track Him. I couldn't track Him, Brother Billy. I'd look for His tracks. I'd try to say, hey, God, did You go this way? Which way did You go? But then it comes to mind, Job 23. Job said, I looked to the right and to the left, and front and behind, and said, I couldn't find Him. But then he goes into verse 10 and says, but He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job is saying, it's not important that I know where He's at, but it is important that He knows where I'm at. Thank God we can trust Him when we can't track Him. But there's times that I didn't have an answer to the question. Are you listening? I had that Brother John when Mom and Dad so quickly was gone from my life. Are you listening? And I still have times. Not many times, but I still have a time or two every now and then. I miss them so bad I can't hardly stand it, and I guess that's normal. And that just sort of increases my homesickness. Because I know they're not out yonder on the hillside, but they're over yonder on the other side. And they're awaiting the... Amen. Hallelujah! I'll be home before dark, praise God. Amen. And I thought, Lord, why? What did You do that for? And I'd get to looking at all these other people out there that were heathens, and their mom and daddy's doing good. I said, Lord, my mom and daddy were soldiers of the cross and heroes of the faith and great inspirations to the church community and their family, but yet they're gone. And you know what? The Lord still yet to this day has never given me an explanation. And one day, I seen what was happening in my heart. The devil was trying to turn me against God. And one day I got in the prayer closet and I said, God, whether I ever understand or not, whether I ever have an answer or not, You don't owe me an explanation. Because I know the Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He only does wondrous things. Thank God for that word only that's in that statement, in that verse. He only. That is, when that word only got attached and put in that verse by the Holy Ghost, He's saying that He cannot go outside that boundary. He cannot go beyond that. He cannot do anything except wondrous things. And I said, Lord, I may not know, and you don't have to tell me why, but I choose here and now to trust you that you did right, and I'm going to honor you because of it. And I'm telling you, immediately peace come in my heart. You know what I did right there, Brother Craddock? I let that go. I let that go. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. I had to let it go. But I want to tell you, thank God, the endangerment does not change His perfection or does not stop His perfection. Could I mention a third thing quickly? And that is this, and boy, it blesses me to be able to preach this. The endangerments cannot stop His presence. Can't stop His person, who He is. But it can't stop His presence. That's where He is. Hey, man, I'll enjoy it. Y'all take a nap. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. What He is, Brother John? He's the Lord. Verse 1, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah. Amen. He is. I want to tell you, who He is and what He is one thing. But I get excited about where He is. David said in verse 4, Thou art with me. But Lord, there's threatening danger all around. But I'm with you. Lord, it's dark. But I'm with you. I'm scared, Lord, but I'm with you. Thank God for His wonderful presence. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. Listen, for He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And listen to this, He is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What consolation I had growing up at times when I would be, we'd be either fishing or whatever with Daddy, and I'd be little and we'd be crossing an old white water stream and I'd be scared to death, and a gnat could carry me off hardly. I'm serious. And my Daddy would grab me by the hand and cross that river we'd go. Was I touching the bottom? Oh no, I was just floating. But He was a carrying me. Oh yeah, many times we'd go hunting. Hey man, it'd be dark as a dungeon. We'd go in for daylight. And I tell you, just to know that Daddy was there. It didn't matter to me how many bears was in the woods or what other varmints was in the woods or what other dangers was in the woods, as long as I could look close by. And there was my hero, my Daddy. Oh, I want to tell you, I believe God in the message right now is trying to whisper to somebody's soul and say, I'm here. Hey, amen. I'm here. Even if you can't look around and see Him, He is there. And I'll tell you why He's there. It's because He's promised. And His promise is attached to His presence. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm telling you, that blessed my soul. He cannot stop His presence. And then whatever number the next one is, it cannot stop His plan and purpose. When the shepherd was leading the sheep through that narrow passageway, those valleys of imminent and impending danger all around them, my friend, the shepherd and the sheep knew that there was a purpose. He's got me here for a purpose. We're coming through here for a purpose. Oh, when you start getting tore up, and when I get all bent out of shape spiritually, it's when I start losing sight of the fact that God has a purpose. Now I know, come on now, believe God's trying to help us. We can quote Romans 8:28 to everybody else, but what about looking in the mirror?
Come on,
are you listening? Romans 8:28, and that we know. Didn't say we could see it. Didn't say we could feel it. It said, and that we know that all things work together for the good. All things. Some things or all things. Most things or all things. All things. And you can look it up. All means all. All things work together. Didn't say all things was good. It just said all things are working together for the good. All things are working together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I'll tell you the truth. What has kept me here many times over 18 years that I've been here is that I know God led me here. That I know God led me here, that God placed me here, and that I'm here on purpose, amen. Thank God. It can't stop His purpose and His plans. I like that, don't you? He has a design and a destiny in mind. Can I say quickly that the endangerments cannot stop our pace? Have you heard that?
Amen.
Come right out of verse 3. Yea, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk. And I got blessed by parts of speech again. That word walk is a verb. In other words, danger all around. Keep walking. A verb is action word. Stay active. When you start sitting down and falling down and quitting and throwing in the towel, then the devil and all of his prey will come on your life and devour you. But just stay moving. Just stay moving. Someone asked me a while ago, I believe Brother Scott asked me, said, how you doing? I said, I'm just running around like a chicken with a head cut off. He said, you that busy? I said, yeah. I said, you know what? It's good to be like that because I said, if you stand still, it lets the devil get his sights on you.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to hit a moving target. Amen? Oh, I want to tell you, amen. Amen. Whatever you do, child of God, don't stop. Stopping is not an option. Stopping is not an option. Stopping is not an option.
Amen.
You say, but preacher, it's dark, but don't stop. You preacher, it's dangerous, but don't stop. You're going through that path on purpose. God's got a plan. God's got a destiny. Don't focus on the danger. Focus on the leader. I say it cannot stop our pace. Boy, don't you know that it unnerves a devil when he puts when he's all around you threatening, all around you a growling like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and you just keep walking. Just keep walking. Keep going to church. Just keep reading your Bible. Just keep praying. You still just keeping hold of your convictions. You're not going to throw them out the window and change your mind and start living loose. Amen. You just keep walking. I don't understand it. We've put the heat on that RBT crowd. We've caused this and we've did this and I've thrown this dart and this stone. And they're just keep walking. They just keep walking. I'm telling you, I about had a spell when the Lord just spoke to my heart about it. That those dangers don't stop our pace. Walk on, the song says. Walk on. I remember, you've heard me say this, but it fits, and I enjoy telling it, and we'll tell it again. Amen. I remember talking to Brother Jeff Brown on a cell phone when I was traveling down to Columbia, South Carolina to preach. And I went through a zone there somewhere, a dead zone. And I got disconnected. Well, it went on about a minute or 2 minutes later. He calls me back. He said, "What happened?" I said, "I guess I went through a dead zone." And he said, "Well, what did you do to get out of that dead zone?" And we was just talking. We weren't trying to be spiritual. Wasn't looking at it spiritual. He said, "What'd you do to get out of that dead zone?" I said, "Just kept going." Hallelujah! I want to tell you, we just kept going, and it wasn't long. Thank God we topped the hill and got signal again. When it gets dead in your life, that's not the time to pull over and pout. That's not the time to doubt and not give in to fear, but just go on. Just go on. Just keep walking. You may not can run, but just keep walking. Can't stop our pace. Let me deal with this quickly. The endangerments cannot stop our passage or our progress. This word right here jumped out of that verse. Let me read it to you. Yea, though I walk, everybody listening, through. The endangerments, Sister Betty, cannot stop my progress or my passage. Now here's where you'll get messed up right here, is if you start looking at your valleys of impending danger and threatening dangers as being your address. In other words, you just kindly pull up and pitch your tent right there and you just kindly hang around there. This verse does not say that He's leading us in, but rather through. Thank God you ought to look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, I'm going through. I'm not in, I'm going through." Through means there's an entrance and there's an exit. Oh, glory to God. Some of y'all, you look at your entrance. "Well, I got in this mess and this is going on in my life." And I remember, and by the way, to look at the entrance, you have to turn around. Shepherd's up here, he's leading toward the exit. He's leading toward the high country. But you turning around and you looking at the entrance. Well, I'll tell you what, I remember when this happened and I remember when I got in this mess and I remember when all this started happening. And you're looking at that and you're focusing on that. But the word "through" identifies an entrance. But it also identifies an exit. Thank God it may be that I'm in this impending danger for a while, but it's not permanent.
Amen.
It's not permanent, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. He said, for these light afflictions. He's talking about 35 years of imprisonment and all kinds of danger, shipwrecks, snake bites, abandonments, and being beaten with rods and all of that. He said, these light afflictions, which is but for a moment. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where's your focus at this morning? You have a choice. You can look as I can look at what's temporary as though it's permanent. Oh, mercy. Sometimes we're led through the valley of the shadow of death and we'll look around like it's permanent. And you'll think, "I'll never get out of this." You know how you get out of it? Oh, mercy. The same way you got in it. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They got into that zone by His leading, and they're going to follow Him, and He's going to lead them out. Amen? He's in there with them. And you think about this. If you're following Him, you'll never go nowhere He's not already been. Oh, It's not the sheep leading the shepherd, but it's the shepherd leading the sheep. And if he's leading and we're following, every step we take, we're stepping in his steps. Amen. If it's good enough for the shepherd, it's good enough for the sheep. Oh, glory. Some of you need to get a hold of that. Through speaks of what's around us. Are you listening? How we're going through it. That means it's around us. And it's a shadow of death, so it's close. But it's not what's around us that should control us. But it is who is before us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That word walk. That word walk means to go, to proceed, to advance, to depart. Some way you get out of things just by keep walking. Walking by faith. Just keep following Jesus. Amen. Miss Stapleton, I've heard her say it so many times in church and out, and since she's been a shut-in, I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and I shall not be moved. Oh, yes. It cannot stop our progress. Through identifies a passage. It is not a dead end. A passage is a path that's taking you somewhere. I hope you get that this morning. What you're going through is a passage. You're to tell it. You're to tell your problems that. You are just a passage. I'm going somewhere. Amen. When you feel like you're not going nowhere, that's when the devil wants to really take advantage of it. But just say to your problems, you say, preacher, are we supposed to do that? Are we supposed to talk to our problems? Why not? Jesus said to. Oh, Lord, help us. I hope y'all not in a hurry. I'm about done, but I ain't done yet. God's trying to help somebody. You need to talk to your problems. And doing so, you separate yourself from your problems and you put your problems aside and you address the problems. You are just a passage. I'm going somewhere and you can't stop me. Jesus said, if there's a mountain in your way, what did He say, Sister Don? He said, say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. He didn't say about your mountain. He said, say to the mountain. If we'd talk to our problem as much as we talk about our problems, we'd have victory. Amen. 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 That's right. There's a time or two I know somebody was looking in a window and thought I was crazy. But there's a time or two that I've just addressed the devil himself. Whether he was there in person or not, I thought he was. And talked to him. Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. And I don't think part of that resistance would be just simply saying, look, devil, those thoughts you're putting in my mind, that's not of God. A part of resisting the devil is recognizing the devil. And there's nothing wrong when you recognize the devil and put yourself separate from him and say, now look, those thoughts are not of God. These feelings I'm having is not of God. My faithlessness is not of God. My doubt is not of God. Amen? Amen. And I here and now reject it. It's not of God. It's not helping me spiritually. It's taking me down spiritually. It's not of God. I reject those thoughts. I reject those feelings. I'm not entertaining those thoughts no more. When they come in my mind, I will quickly recognize they're from you and I will not receive them. And I'm going to tell you, there's an element of victory come in my soul every single time I've done that. And I've even told others to do that at times. I said, go home, get by yourself, make sure there's nobody in the house. And talk to your problems and talk to the devil and say, get out of my face. Jesus did. When Peter said, oh no, Lord, you're not going to no cross and die. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he was calling the one controlling Peter. He was looking through Peter to the one that was behind the scene. And I'm going to tell you, we need to get a hold of that, but the endangerments cannot stop my passage. I'm going through. Amen. He's taking me somewhere. Amen. Tell yourself, he's taking me somewhere. He's trying to take me somewhere. Well, where is he trying to take us? He's trying to take us to the high country. And then it cannot stop. Now, last of all, that's the one y'all looking for. He cannot stop. He cannot stop. Oh, my peace. He can't stop my peace. Verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David, as a sheep, was stating here in the presence of imminent danger, he said, I will fear no evil. And I am comforted. Thank God for God's peace. The Bible says, passes all understanding. God can give peace to you right in the very shadow of death. Danger all around, God can give you comfort and peace in your heart. Sometimes He chooses to come calm the storm around us. But then at other times He chooses to just calm the storm that's within us. Sometimes He calms the waves, and as He did in the Gospels, and they laid down like a little puppy dog at the Master's feet. And the sea became calm, and the wind ceased. But then there's other times, my friend, that the waves are still crashing in, but on the inside, God speaks peace to your spirit. He can't stop my peace. Hallelujah, amen. He didn't say there wouldn't be any evil. There was danger all around. There was evil threatening all around. Didn't say there wouldn't be any evil. He just said, I will fear no evil. Oh, Lord, you showed me something. He said, I will fear no evil. Notice that term, I will. You know what your will is? When David said, the Lord just showed me that, when David said, I will fear no evil, he said, I'm exercising my will in this matter. I'm not a leaf floating in the wind. I'm exercising my will. I'm not going to fear, for thou art with me. Our peace comes from His presence. Amen. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Cannot stop my peace. You know, when I get disturbed, when I get really bothered, it's when my peace is disturbed, when I don't have any peace. Boy, I don't have no peace. It bothers me. Because Colossians 3 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That word rule means referee. That peace of God will be a director in your life. If you get out of line, it'll blow the whistle on you. You're out of bounds. You've committed a foul. Let you know that you've done something wrong, and it'll blow the whistle on you. Thank God for that peace. Peace does not come from peaceful circumstances. We just think if the wind that's blowing in my life will stop, I'll be better. If the waves will stop, I'll be better. But no, that's not where our peace comes. Our peace comes from the Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, there's a lot that we could say about that, about the rod and the staff. And I think we'll cover, I know we'll cover one of those on our next line of thought in the next verse. But that rod done something. When David looked as a sheep and saw the shepherd and he had that rod and that staff, you know what it did to him? The reason it comforted him and the reason it gave him peace, you know why? That staff, listen, that staff was an emblem of identity. No other profession carried a shepherd's staff. When that sheep looked and saw the one holding the staff and the rod, it identified, that's him. That is him. You know why else the rod and staff played an important role in the peace? Is because the rod and staff was the govern and the rule of the flock. The shepherd used the rod and staff to govern and control and direct and to correct the flock. Amen? This right here, can I give you this right here and I'm done? The staff was also an instrument that produced blessing and peace in David's heart. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Is because the rod was not only used in classifying the shepherd, controlling the sheep, but was also used for counting the sheep. Oh, man. I'll just read you one of the verses. It's 2-3, but here's one of them. Ezekiel 20 and verse 37. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And it said it again in Leviticus 27:32 that rod was used for counting the herd. In other words, when that sheep going through that impending danger looked up there and saw that rod says, I'm one of his because I've been counted. I've passed under the rod. I've been counted. I'm one of his.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, glory to God, that'll help you. So we find the shepherd deals with our endangerments. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we tried our best to be obedient to you this morning. Thank you for the good liberty, God, that I've had to preach this morning. And I trust, dear Lord, that you've used the message, God, in some way, Lord, to help your people. Lord, I know that what I preached this morning has certainly helped me. Certainly has helped me. And I thank you and I praise you for it. But I ask you this morning to take the message and speak to hearts with it in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.